When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What time is it?
Bum-ba-da-bum. You're locked into the flagship, an Ole Miss podcast powered by College Corner.
Here we go.
One, two, three.
Get your daily Rebel sports fix at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com.
Welcome in to this Monday edition of the flagship. I'm your host, Zach Berry. Grayson Weir will be joining us here in a moment. I tell you about the good folks at College Corner, fine presenter and sponsor of the show each and every day. If you don't know by now, three locations: Oxford, Ridgeland, Flowood. The new one in Oxford, fantastic, 4,000 plus square feet. It's really nice. Look, media days up and running. Had to bail out this year. Had some logistical things to address with children and who is going to be the adult supervision. So that fell on me this week, so I will be at home. But have no fear, our good buddy Jake Thompson is there. He will be covering media days all week for you. You can find all that at omspirit.com. Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss, you've got Jackson Dart, Jared Ivey, and Trey Harris are in Dallas today. We will have coverage of that. But that means football's here. Kind of the unofficial start to college football season. So with that, you got to get to College Corner. You got to get some new polos, some new merch, some tailgating supplies. Go get it at College Corner. They've got you covered. They take care of us, and they will take care of you. Like I said, three locations: Oxford, Ridgeland, and Flowood. And if you can't get to the brick and mortar, just check them out, collegecornerstore.com. All right, Grayson is here with us. As, like I said, the unofficial kickoff to college football. Grayson, good morning.
Good morning. It is talking season. We are here. We have done it. We made it. It's we're counting the days. You know, this is it. Like you said, unofficial start of the college football year. I know the Big 12 had their media days last week, but who cares? It's SEC time. We got Texas. We got Oklahoma. We got Nick Saban getting left out of the media days because he forgot his credential in the hotel room. It's we're here. We got things to talk about. We got football to focus on. The Olympics will help us at the end of the month, but God, we're here. You could smell it in the air.
This is probably a one-time holiday with media days kicking off and EA Sports College Football 25 coming out this afternoon.
Yeah.
Pretty epic stuff right there. For those of you that did purchase early access, you get it 3 p.m. Central Time. If you're listening to this on Monday, you will have that access to go ahead and get things cranked up, figure out who you're going to do a dynasty mode with and all of that. We're going to talk a little bit about the game at the end of the show, but this podcast is going to be focused primarily on big picture stuff. This is kind of that year where I think the expectations, the perception, the questions that Lane Kiffin will field this week are going to be very, very different. I know last year a lot of people liked that Ole Miss team that ended up winning 11 games, but there were some skeptics, there were some question marks here and there. I don't think there's that this year. I think this is it's kind of what Lane Kiffin's been building towards, right? All 4 years before this, getting to, as they call it, the last dance. So this is the year where everything kind of comes to a head. All the work comes to fruition, all of that and more, with all the cliches. But yeah, Jackson Dart, third year. You've got, I was listening to our buddy Andy Staples earlier. He was talking with Jim Nagy, who works with the Senior Bowl, and he said that this Ole Miss team has 20 draft eligible players on it, or 20 that have draft you know, draft grades who could be drafted. So I don't know when. I don't know when Ole Miss has had that on a roster. I don't think it's ever been that many. So, long-winded intro to this segment, but how do you anticipate media days and just the build-up to September going for Ole Miss with just everything that's on their plate right now? As a this is where Ole Miss is trying to become a contender and not a pretender.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, the guys that Ole Miss sent to Dallas for the media days, Trey Harris and Jackson Dart in particular, they just posted a photo to Instagram. They're in the private jet as we speak. So as we're recording this, they'll probably be there by the time you're listening to this. They look fresh. So if you haven't, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen them yet, go give them a quick Google search, go to Jackson's Instagram. They look awesome. But to answer the actual question, I think this year is interesting because I think I'm more curious to hear what the players say than what Lane has to say, because we know Lane is going to go in there and he's going to give his classic coach speak. He's going to, you know, we're focused on one game at a time. I asked him last year, you know, is there one game in particular that you're most excited about with all the new dynamics of Hugh Freeze, et cetera? And he said, you know, no, I'm looking forward to week one. It's like, okay, got it. Heard. Like, you're all business. It's coach speak. We're not going to go into anything super crazy. You know, there are going to be questions. Hey Lane, how do you handle pressure? How do you handle expectations? The same way we always do, right? Like, I don't know what Lane is going to say. That's particularly, he's going to give us a good soundbite. I'm sure he always does. But I don't know what he's going to say that's particularly like expansive, I guess, for lack of a better word. But these college kids, you know, they're to Ole Miss's credit, they're very well media trained at this point. But I think they're going to be the ones who are more interesting coming out of these media days with, hey, Jackson, you know, this is your final year. You're in the Heisman Trophy conversation. What do you expect? I'm curious to hear what he says to that. Hey, Trey, you know, you are arguably the best wide receiver in the country, if not the best, you know, top five, certainly top 10. You know, are you looking ahead to the NFL draft at all? No, obviously not. Yeah. You know, the season is the first. So I'm curious what the players say as opposed to what Lane says. I think Lane's going to get up there and be pretty straightforward, but with expectations this year, you know, there is a, you can't talk bigger than you walk, I guess is how I'll phrase it. Like, there is an opportunity here where this team can go in and they can talk the talk, but I think Lane is not going to allow them to do that. He comes from the Saban coaching tree, rat poison, et cetera. You know, this team is going to be very humble, for the most part. I think we've seen, you know, Jackson's kind of taking a few shots on social media and things of that nature, but this team's going to be humble. And I appreciate that. They're going one game at a time, you know, every week counts the same. So who cares about Georgia when you've got to beat MTSU first, when you've got to beat, you know, other teams that aren't these flagship programs or these premier elite blue bloods first. So that's, I think that's the big, you know, takeaway from this week is how do the players handle the expectations?
Yeah, I'm they're going to be coached up.
Yeah, for sure.
Kiffin knows the deal. You know, he worked for Nick Saban. Nick Saban taught his players well how to handle media. Kiffin will do the same thing. And I think the three players that Ole Miss is bringing, I think those are three dudes that'll knock it out of the park. Dart's done, you know, media basically his whole life. Mm-hmm. As soon as he got to high school, junior, senior year, he's done media. And then Trey Harris and Jared Ivey, just two super laid back guys that I think are going to relish the opportunity to be there and we'll just have fun with it. And we'll be good ambassadors for the program. But yeah, Kiffin's always been the big picture. I don't want to talk about specifics or I don't want to talk ball or scheme. He's always looking ahead. He's always looking to the future. So if the people in the big room are smart, they'll ask him some questions about the transfer portal, NIL, revenue sharing, the growth of the SEC, the death of, you know, a power conference. I mean, that'd be something that he could potentially, you know, perk up about. Somebody ask him like, hey, what about your time in the Pac-12? You know, what are your memories like of being in that conference? It's gone. But yeah, the one-on-one stuff when he's in those rooms with, you know, guys one-on-one, you know, our boy Steven Hartzell's there. He'll get him one-on-one. So those are the type of settings where those are the answers I think you want to listen to, you want to pay attention to, because those are going to be a very, you know, intimate setting, very particular questions, good questions. The big room, there are some, you know, talented folks in there. There's some good reporters, some good writers, folks in the industry that do very well and are good at what they do. But then there's also, you know, there's going to be some knuckleheads in there. And maybe not even just a knucklehead, just somebody that's going to ask a silly question. But yeah, I think this is kind of the year where everything's flipped. Ole Miss is no longer, you know, the hunter. Ole Miss is the hunted now. I know that during media days on SEC Network, they're going to be promoting a lot of ESPN, you know, FPI projections or analytics for Ole Miss and the SEC. You know, I have it on here in my office. I saw them putting up, percentage chance to win the SEC or percentage chance to get to the SEC championship game. And Ole Miss wasn't in the top five or six, which, you know, I think is kind of silly. Maybe that's a factor, or maybe those numbers and that data is factoring in Georgia and Oklahoma and LSU, I think, because that's the three big games, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Look, going to the Swamp, people always talk about how tough it is to play there. It's late in the year. I think Florida's going to be a disaster by that point, and Billy Napier may or may not be the head coach. But I think that's kind of one of those games where Ole Miss is the better team. But, yeah, I mean, this year is going to be interesting. It's going to be fun to cover because I don't know of a season – since I've been doing this, that Ole Miss has been the hunted.
Yeah. And there really aren't any question marks too. I mean, I guess I was kind of going through the depth chart, you know, last night, just as we look ahead to this College Football 25 game. There really aren't any like big questions at any position. The only one you might question is there a ton of depth at the defensive line spot? I don't know. You know, Chris Hardy, like Xavier Harris, whatever. They're in there. Are they able to fill in if, you know, the big three of Nolan, Ivy, well, really big four, Pegues and Uman Mielen, I've been practicing it. I still can't get it down. Is there the depth there? But other than that, it's the first time in a long time where there really aren't any question marks. Last year, there were question marks about the defense. This year, not really. You went into the transfer portal, added the depth you needed at linebacker. You add a guy like TJ Dudley, you know, where nobody's talking about TJ Dudley. He's probably a backup in this system, depending on Kari Coleman and Chris Paul. Like, there really aren't any question marks, and I can't say that about Ole Miss in any year that I have known the program. And that's, you know, a great positive thing, but it's also like, well, wait a minute, what's the catch? where's the Ole Miss-ness to this? I guess we'll see.
I would say the one question mark is the offensive line. Just the only question is how do they mesh?
Sure. So
there's talent, there's returning talent, returning starters. So don't get it twisted. I think the offensive line is going to be very good. It's just a matter of how does John Garrison juggle all of that talent? That's honestly it. The kicking game is solid. Quarterback, running back, receivers, tight end, D-line, linebacker, secondary. That's the thing that Ole Miss has done so well at multiple off seasons. Not only hitting the portal, but hitting the portal and landing experienced guys. It's one thing to you know, hit somebody in the portal that's a four or five star that didn't play much or, you know, had those freshman lulls or, you know, they were really good in this game, but then they looked like a freshman in this game. you know, for the most part, they have gone out and gotten guys that are proven commodities. And I think that that's the big thing for this team this year is it's not just a ton of talent via the portal. It's a ton of talent via the portal that has played a lot of football.
Yeah. And all positions of need too. You know, there are teams out there who are using the transfer portal well, but they're just acquiring talent. And Ole Miss did that to some extent. I mean, look at the running back room, right? Like you had four significant names from the transfer portal to the running back room just to acquire talent and add that depth, because you're looking now at a potentially a 16, 17 game season, whereas it used to be 12, maybe 13, maybe 14 with the playoff. But Ole Miss went in and targeted positions of need and added guys who are proven with depth. And then while also, I mean, we're forgetting too, there's a lot of young guys who are still continuing to develop under these new additions. Aiden Williams is a sophomore. Bryce Sanders is arguably starts at a lot of lower end P4 offensive lines as a freshman last year, you know, and he's going to be second, maybe even third string this fall, depending on Jaquan Scott, you know, whatever, like depending on how you move things around. So Ole Miss did a really good job of like, okay, we see the depth we have, how can we add to it? And this is, you know, the pressure's on. It's now or never. It's put up or shut up. It's go win. You know, this team, I'm curious. I don't want to look ahead to 2025, 2026, et cetera, but I'm curious how you can replicate a team this good and this deep year over year over year. Because I've been talking to a lot of people recently. I was talking to a Colorado guy yesterday. And he was like, well, what do you think about Ole Miss? I think their ceiling is 10 wins. I'm like, no, like their floor is kind of 10 wins. Like anything less than 10 wins is a disappointment.
I was going to say, if the floor is not 10, then something went terribly wrong.
Exactly. And so there's not a lot of, outside of the real ball knowers, there's not a lot of respect for this Ole Miss team just based off, oh, you know, Paul Feinbaum, we talked about on the last one, like, oh, we haven't seen, you know, Lane Kiffin win, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, look at this team top to bottom. Look at the roster. Look at the depth. Look at the snap count. I mean, like you said, all these players that are coming in with depth or with experience, like the snap count on this team, if I'm not mistaken, and don't quote me on this, but I believe Ole Miss has the highest snap count of any team in the country when it comes to the starting 22. I'm fairly confident that I saw that somewhere, where Ole Miss, what that means is every single player on Ole Miss's starting 22 has acquired more snaps in college football to date than any other team in the country. What other team could say that? None, because Ole Miss is first. Like it's the opportunity that you need, and you need to take advantage of it.
Yeah, because I mentioned the offensive line being my only question. Is it four starters coming back?
Ole Miss? Right.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's at least three or four. And then you bring in two guys from the Joe Moore offensive line, best offensive line in football. You bring those two guys over that are older and experienced. You bring in Jerquan Scott, a utility dude basically for the offensive line. He can play anywhere. I think Bryson Sanders, the redshirt freshman, is going to be pushing for time at center. I'm not saying he's going to start, but I mean, that guy is going to be nipping at the heels to take over once Caleb Warren is gone. So, I mean, it's a good spot to be in right now if you're Ole Miss. And talking about acquiring talent year over year in the portal, it's going to be hard because everybody's doing it now. NIL is such a huge part of college football, and that's leveling the playing field for everybody. But this is where, like, the high school recruiting becomes important, where you got to supplant that talent with some dudes that, you know, maybe you land a couple impact freshmen, but if you don't, they'll be good that year too, that redshirt freshman year or that true sophomore year. I think that's where college football is. There are programs that can get 4 and 5 stars, you know, huge quantities every cycle. That's one thing that hasn't really changed. you know, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, the Georgias, the, you know, hell, at this point, the Oregons. Those are the programs that are going to continue to recruit at a high clip and are going to get the blue chip guys in high school. But Ole Miss is going to pick and choose, and they're going to – Ole Miss is – it's going to get its fair share. But, yeah, I think if you're an Ole Miss fan, you have to feel really good about the future with Lane Kiffin in charge, because he's been so accepting of the portal and he's been a huge advocate for it. And I think that that resonates with players. You know, Ole Miss is such a, you know, it's a destination spot now.
Yeah, which is crazy. You couldn't have said that 4 years ago.
It's wild. Walter Nolan talked about it at length with people already. Just, you know, once Ole Miss was on his radar, he just couldn't say no. You know, a guy like Juice Wells could have gone anywhere, and he just – him and Lane Kiffin hit it off, and the rest is history. You can run down the list of dudes. Yan Banks is a guy that doesn't get talked about a lot. He kind of gets lost in the shuffle because there's so many transfers. I mean, he had some NFL aspirations, and he chose to do one more year and go play at Ole Miss. Now, helps that he's from Mississippi, but I think it's more so the opportunity to be on a college football playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's – people will argue, and well, you know, all the kids care about is just getting to the NFL. Winning doesn't really matter to, you know, especially high school guys. But these dudes that are coming for like a 1 year, you know, it's like a gap year before you go to the league. Those dudes care about playing in meaningful football games and going to a program that is not only going to play meaningful games, but are going to be able to get you to the league.
Yep. Give you the tape, but also win.
Yeah. I think that's crucial, and I think that that's why Ole Miss has been so successful in the portal, because of that. It's not just Lane Kiffin. It's not just the swag and Ole Miss and winning 11 last year, winning 10 the year before. But I think it's legitimately dudes think, okay, Ole Miss is an it school right now, and it's the place to be. Hell, we're getting to the point now where some of these recruits in high school, all they know is, hey, Ole Miss has been there.
Yeah.
They've been right there. I mean, Vance Spafford, a 2026 kid from Mission Viejo, California, he told me Ole Miss is his dream school. Like, it's wild. He said, I just grew up liking them. I always liked Ole Miss. They're my dream school. That's crazy.
Yeah.
These dudes kind of grew up on, you know, the 14, 15 years with Hugh Freeze and beating Alabama and winning a lot, going to access bowls. Now they're seeing Lane Kiffin. You've got back-to-back access bowls, winning a ton. The brand recognition is very, very real. And I think that I don't think it's going anywhere. I think Kiffin has pretty much cemented himself as an it coach and someone that you can go and play for and have a ton of success in the college level and then get to the NFL.
Mm-hmm. And credit to look, credit where credit is due to Matt Luke, that these kids who saw the, you know, their high school, these now high school recruits who their first memories of college football is Ole Miss beating Alabama back-to-back years with Hugh Freeze. There was an opportunity there for Ole Miss to go fall back into irrelevance. And Matt Luke, you know, say what you want about his time with the program. Not only did he love the school and the fan base loved him as a person, like, he kept the brand relevant. The brand never dipped. You know, it was Ole Miss with Hugh Freeze was up. And then, sure, the wins and losses dropped pretty significantly. And obviously everyone knew that probably wasn't going to work out in the long term. But even when Matt Luke was at Ole Miss, that brand was still relevant. People were still talking about the Rebels. There were top recruits coming in, committing to the team, despite, you know, the kind of the inefficiency on the field. And then you hire a guy like Lane Kiffin who comes back in and says, hey, well, I'll take the brand and I'll triple it, you know, and he did. So it's a really good spot to be in, and the pressure's on. And I'm curious to see if the people in Dallas kind of ask these questions, like, hey, you know, how were you able to maintain the brand? How are you able to build the brand? How have you made Ole Miss into a premier destination, not only for Lane, but for guys like Jackson? He's been the most vocal, one of the most vocal players in the country when it comes to his program and his team and pushing his narrative and his guys. And that goes a long way too, right? Like, you can have a cool head coach, you can have a good winning team, but if the players aren't vocal, if they're not talking, if they're not pushing their brand, it doesn't go as far. And so for Ole Miss to have the Lane Kiffin brand, for Ole Miss to be a popular brand that has won football games and have players who are bought into the program and promoting the program, it's a recipe for success. And now you just need to succeed.
Yeah.
The College Corner is headed to Oxford. Stop by their new location in the Oxford Commons off Sisk Avenue. They'll have 4,000 square feet of Rebel gear ready for your trip to the Grove. On your next trip to Oxford, stop by the College Corner or our other great locations in Ridgeland and Flowood. Hats, shirts, polos, pullovers, sweats, t-shirts. College Corner has it all. And as always, you can visit us online at collegecornerstore.com. That's collegecornerstore.com. The College Corner, where your game day apparel meets.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I think that's this culmination here in 2024. Ole Miss has done everything right up to this point. Lane Kiffin's done everything right up to this point. The slow build to now has been pretty much, you know, gone according to plan. You know, outside of, you know, Matt Corral getting injured in the Sugar Bowl and maybe a bonehead loss to Mississippi State at home, it's pretty much Ben, if you told Lane Kiffin the trajectory of his first 4 years, outside of maybe the get your popcorn ready statement, I think he would be okay with it. And I think
popcorn ready statement that one didn't stick all that well.
Yeah, that was a tough scene. But yeah, I mean, I think this is, and Kiffin's going to do the rat poison stuff and all that, but I think. I know he does it very tongue in cheek and he's joking and that's just kind of his brand. But also, I don't know, man, pat yourself on the back every now and then. Mm-hmm. He's earned it. I know there were a lot of questions about him and people, you know, gave him a lot of shit for what happened at Tennessee. And then people like to poke fun at him about what happened with the Raiders and, you know, Alabama and the end of, you know, that tenure there and all the rumors and everything, but Lane Kiffin has earned his spot here.
Yep.
And I think anyone would tell you that.
Yeah. And he knows it too. Like, he knows he's earned it. He just chooses to push the focus and the attention to others. And I think that's a testament to a good coach. You know, good coaches, like, sure, like you said, pat yourself on the back every once in a while, but keep the focus on everybody else, because if you're doing your job, that means everybody else around you is thriving too. And that's big. And that goes both ways. You know, that goes both ways. The people around you have to thrive for you to thrive. And this staff in Oxford has done a great job of, you know, building the blocks for then Lane Kiffin to really build the house on top of it.
Yeah. Real quick before we, hit the break and I'll tell you a little bit about a couple of our sponsors. Media Days is ongoing right now as we record this. Shout out to Shane Beamer, South Carolina head coach. Just a class act, offered up condolences to Lane Kiffin and his family in his opening statement. Pretty cool. Our good buddy Jake Thompson's there. He noted that, you know, obviously Shane Beamer's son of Frank Beamer. So he's a son of a coach as well. So he kind of drew that parallel, but Jake said that he noted he sent Beamer sent Monty Kiffin a letter when he followed Lane to SC And he said that Monty called him back personally.
Oh, neat.
And like a response. So the long running list of just Monty Kiffin being a G just continues to grow. Everybody loved him. And yeah, we offer up our condolences as well to Lane Kiffin and his family. But all right, no good segue out of that, but let's get to telling you about a couple of our sponsors here. Roback, you can see if you're watching on YouTube right now, you see that lovely logo down there in the corner. Our good friends at Roback are a proud sponsor of the flagship. Big fans, as you can see, I'm wearing the polo today. Look, the collar is fantastic. It doesn't move. You can wear it going to the grocery store. You can wear it around the house. You can wear it when you play golf, whatever. Fantastic fit, true fit. I always tell people it's perfect for it for a, you know, business casual formal event, golf, whatever. If you want to tuck it in, still looks crispy, still looks good. You can also be pretty casual with it and keep it untucked and it still looks great. It's not super baggy. It's a nice form fit. I love it. I've been a huge fan of them for a long time, even before our partnership began. And it's not just the polos. They've got the lightweight hoodies that are fantastic. The t-shirts are incredibly soft and comfortable. The shorts, I was not familiar with your game. The shorts are great. Again, really breathable. They look great. Like they fit almost like an athletic short, but they look super crispy and look like a formal fit with like a khaki look. Huge fan of the shorts. After they sent those to me, I'm a big proponent of those as well. And yeah, I mean, they've got everything you could possibly want at roback.com. When you go check out roback.com, make sure to use promo code JUICE. You get 20% off your first order. And look, College Corner's got you covered with anything Ole Miss related. But if you need some just generic things, some basic polos for the office or for the golf course when you're not repping Ole Miss, hit up Roback. Promo code JUICE, 20% off. That's roback.com. Show also brought to you by our good friends at USA Benefits Group, Drew Moak and Company. I mean, what can you say? What else can we say about them? They're helping you cut down your premiums by 20 to 30%. They cover everything from regular health plans to life insurance, dental, vision, Medicare, everything and more. Drew and USA Benefits Group got you covered. 601-953-8449. He's an Ole Miss grad. He's in Mississippi, but also licensed in 7 states. So not landlocked at all. He's not strapped only in Mississippi. He can help you elsewhere. He works with the nation's second largest health insurance brokerage, and he has access to 35 different carriers. So he can help you with all your insurance needs. Call him today, 601-953-8449, or visit them at usabg.com/DMOAK and get your free quote today. That's USA Benefits Group. All right, real quick before we get into video game talk, look, the dream that I've been telling people has, like, we have called this one a long time ago. I wouldn't even say the dream died on the table. The dream died before the ambulance even got there. Slade Caldwell is not going to Ole Miss. the guy that I've been telling people, man, like scouts from, you know, everywhere from Perfect Game to MLB scouts, front office people, they were telling me, like, this is a first round talent. This is a first round kid. Like, he's going to go in the first round. Almost slipped out of there, but the Arizona Diamondbacks snagged him 29th overall Sunday night. Look, there's no NIL in the world. There's no NIL collective in the world that could get a dude like that to stay. He is going to get his money and then some. So big ups to Slade Caldwell. Well-deserved back-to-back Arkansas Gatorade Player of the Year. Set the record for steals in a career. I believe it's 170. This is an electric dude. Our buddy Troy Sutherland from Perfect Game has been, you know, telling people, like, hey, this is Corbin Carroll. Like, that's just the level of talent. That's the game. Now he gets to possibly play with Corbin Carroll. So good for Slade Caldwell. But yes, for everyone that has been asking and trying to speak it into existence, he is going to get probably close to $3 million, maybe more, with that signing bonus. So good on him. As far as everywhere else, I think Ole Miss might be good with the rest of their signing class. Kay Townsend's the only other risk. I think that he is going to make it to campus. As we know, Grayson, it only takes one. But I think the – I don't know. It's hard to predict the draft because, again, it only takes one team, only one front office, one GM to take a risk on a high school kid. But I lean towards him making it to campus. And if he does, I think he is a bona fide weekend arm that could help sooner rather than later in Oxford.
Yeah. He's kind of, we knew what was going to happen with the next Corbin Carroll. But Kay Townsend is somebody you got to get on campus. And I think more than likely, you're right, he's going to, come play in Oxford, unlike Caldwell, but it just comes down to what other teams see in him. If he goes and gets a big signing bonus that's way above his slot value, he might go. Otherwise, why wouldn't you come to Oxford, pitch a couple of years in the SEC? And you're seeing, we saw last night in the first round, like 13 college guys went, most of them from the SEC, at the very least SEC and ACC. And, you know, that's a big deal. Why not go get in and build your brand and then go be a top 10 guy rather than a second, third round guy? I think Townsend ends up in Oxford, which will be a really big boost to a team that is in desperate need of arms.
I think that quickly expedites the rebuild. It speeds up Ole Miss being, you know, kind of back where it needs to be quicker rather than later. Mm-hmm. If a guy like Townsend shows up, this is a dude, we've talked about him before on the show. I talked about him. If you want to go back into the library on Spotify or on YouTube, listen to my conversation with Troy Sutherland of Perfect Game, the Mid-South recruiting coordinator for Perfect Game. But he's originally from California, so he's familiar with the prep scene out there in Santa Margarita Catholic. That's a really good program. Dude is electric. I mean, it's a guy that only played 1 year of high school ball. He was homeschooled, so he only did, you know, camp circuit, showcase type stuff. But fastball, upper 90s, you know, pretty much around 96, 97. In a playoff game this year, he did not drop below 91 with his fastball. And the slider is insane. 3,200 RPM, low to mid 80s with the slider. And he's got a really good curveball, and he has been working with a splitter that, I mean, you can go on Twitter and you can see some overlays of some of this stuff, and it's just crazy how talented he is. So I think if he makes it to campus, that is someone that, especially with the uncertainty on the weekend with guys like Xavier Revis, Hunter Elliott, Riley Maddox, these dudes that are current Rebels that are going to see what happens in the draft. True freshman, a lot to ask of a guy, but I think the talent is plentiful and he could be in the mix on the weekend, whether those dudes all leave for the draft or not. I think he's that good. At the very least, he'll be a dude in the midweek to get some, you know, log some innings, get some reps, but a super talent. That's pretty much it, honestly. I think you look at the rest of this class, which if you're – I know baseball recruiting is not nearly as big of a deal as football or basketball, but this class is seventh in the country per Perfect Game, 17 total commits, 5 top 100 prospects. I think you're looking at if – Townsend makes it to campus. I think the only other risk truly is Caden Lopez, 86 overall prospect in the 24 class. I still think that he is going to make it to campus. He's from pretty much the Ole Miss baseball factory, Oviedo in Florida and Orlando. Tons of Ole Miss Rebels have played there. And then Ethan Sarawick is another one from Gulfport. I know some scouts really like him. He's a top 100 prospect. So those three guys are pretty much, in my opinion, who you're kind of keeping an eye out for right now if you're Ole Miss. I think it's really only Townsend that's truly a risk. I think Lopez and Sarawick are, you know, maybe somebody takes a flyer or tries to get him late if they've got some extra cash laying around. But yeah, if you're only losing Slade Caldwell, who, again, by the way, the national ranking doesn't matter anymore because he was taken in the first round, 29th overall, but he was a top 10 prospect in the country. So
yeah, he was gone.
Those dudes don't ever make it to campus. I mean, well, I'm not going to say don't ever. Like, sometimes there are exceptions, but these days, if an organization is doing that in the first round, that there's no way. So
yeah,
huge couple days for Ole Miss baseball as the draft, not only with high school, but current players and what's going to shake out there. So, all right, let's get to it. 3 p.m. Central Time, EA Sports College Football 25 will be available if you got early access. Have you thought at all about Dynasty Mode and kind of what you're going to do? I got to do some research, trying to figure out who I'm going to do a dynasty with. I know I got some buddies that are already talking about we're gonna get that dynasty mode going. But have you delved into that much?
I'm starting with Bowling Green. I thought about the most boring program I could possibly start with that isn't super popular. Like, okay, Obviously everyone's gonna do Sam Houston State and Jacksonville State, kind of all these new FCS to FBS programs. But I literally saw back, like, what is the most boring team in the country? And then they released some kind of throwback uniforms over the weekend that look, they actually look great for brown and orange, but they are still brown and orange uniforms. So
yeah,
I thought, like, okay, this is the most boring program in the country. This is probably the hardest place to build. I legitimately can't think of another program that would be harder to build than Bowling Green, Ohio. So I'm going to start there and see what happens.
Yeah. I was kind of thinking of, because in my opinion, the roster, all that doesn't matter because you want the challenge of building it.
Yep.
I was kind of thinking more of uniforms and places I've been that I like. But like looking at who is fun in terms of what G5 program is.
We have fun. Opposite approaches. You're going fun. I'm going the most boring.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel like Memphis and Boise State, they're G5, but those are kind of the elite of the G5.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to go there. I don't know if a lot of people remember Memphis went 10-3 in 2023.
Yeah.
Ryan Silverfield's got it going in the Bluff City. Boise, always really solid, regardless of the head coach. So I don't want to go with either of those two. South Florida could be kind of fun. Uniforms aren't terrible, but a program that has really fallen off. I think last year 7-6, but it wasn't too long ago when you had – you know, the Bulls were in the mix and were a lot of fun in the American. Colorado State's another one. I love the state of Colorado. Anytime I ever go there, I have a fantastic time. The Rams would be a fun one to go with. Fresno State, shout out the Valley. I mean, that could be a fun one. Now, kind of one of those where it's like, well, they're already pretty solid, that 9-4 a year ago. But yeah, I gotta do some more research. I mean, there are some that are out there that I really like in terms of, oh man, this would be, you know, a fun team to do a dynasty with. Kennesaw State jumps out to me.
Kennesaw is a good one. That's in one of those FCS to FBS that'll be pretty popular, I think. But that was what I was gonna do if I was going not. I was gonna go with a more like traditional approach to it. I was gonna go Kennesaw State, but Bowling Green just seems so miserable that I'm ready for the grind.
Yeah. SMU be a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
Good uniforms, good color scheme, offense. The playbook is a lot of fun. So that could be one. maybe a, you know, kind of a throwback to when the game, you know, before it left us, the game that was just, you know, so incredibly fun to play, but now it's completely different. Georgia Tech was always one of my go-tos, especially playing online and just running the option and just going no huddle and just doing it until someone just rage quit. That was always fun. It's a very different look now with Georgia Tech, and it's not the old school triple option, Paul Johnson, but that could be a fun one. But yeah, I'm going to do some more research and kind of think I could go really, really fun with it and go with an Ivy League program and just see what goes, what I can get from there. You know, you can also look at, you know, a service academy. Those are always fun. I mean, I could, if I wanted to scratch that itch, I could go with Air Force, and Troy Calhoun and running the option. So yeah, there's a lot of different directions you can go with this, but yeah, I'm excited to get into this tonight and really, you know, kind of figure out, you know, hey, maybe I go with one of the Pac-2. Maybe I go with one of the two Pac, maybe Oregon State or Wazoo.
Yeah, I think Big Cat just went Wazoo, if I'm not mistaken. He brought Coach Duggs back, which is always a fun one. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. This game is going to be awesome. Everything I'm seeing about this game, then all the details that came out over the weekend, the playbooks. I mean, we went from having, you know, a pretty decent playbook in NCAA 14, considering the time that it was, you know, but now it's like, you've got the trips, Y, Z, X, out, route, X, like, it's just awesome. It's so, they did a great job with this, and credit to EA. They said from the beginning, we're not going to do a Madden reskin. I have yet to play it, but also I've yet to play Madden because I'm not a Madden guy. So I guess I can't really speak to it, but from what I understand, it is not Madden, and that's great news.
Yeah, we can kind of close on this. I was never a big Madden guy.
Me neither.
And I always felt like the game was rigged to where, unless someone was just absolutely terrible, you couldn't have a blowout.
Yeah, I know. Like, I never played much Madden outside of like a little bit in college when my roommate, that was what he would play, so I'd have to play it too.
So yeah, that was never a concern where maybe there are some people that wanted just a straight up carbon copy, you know, control C, control V with Madden. I never really cared about that. So yeah, I'm excited to see. I mean, they did a ton of research and a ton of work on it. I need to dive into this column that Chris Vanini of The Athletic wrote about how the hype is real. Just talking about the gameplay, the interface, the intricacies of Dynasty Mode. I'm excited to get into that. So yeah,
it looks hard too. Like I mean, I've heard kicking is just impossible. So I think that's kind of fun too. It's not just a cakewalk. You actually have to earn,
yeah,
you know, your place in the game.
Yeah, it'll be. Look, I'm not at media days this week, but when the kids go to sleep, Dad's gonna be in the basement playing EA college football. So. And I do think we're going to have some fun with it this year. We're going to do some content with the game. We'll have more on that as the season gets here. That's in my opinion, that's going to be fun, to utilize the video game and talk about, you know, week to week, you know, who Ole Miss is playing and kind of looking at the game. So that's going to be fun. But yeah, if you got your PS5 or you got your Xbox and you got early access, you know, Merry Christmas. I hope you enjoy it this afternoon and this evening. But yeah, Grayson, we'll have to once we get our bearings, we'll have to get on the sticks and
oh yeah,
maybe we do a Twitch or something. I don't, you might have to you know, shake off the rust after, you know, back during COVID when we were doing those live streams. We got to figure that out. But yeah, that's going to do it for this edition of the Flagship. Again, even though I am not in Dallas for media days, we will have a ton of coverage with Jake. I'll talk to him later this afternoon, this evening, when he gets done with Ole Miss. I believe Kiffin hits the podium a little after 1 o'clock Central Time. So tune in on SEC Network and then check out omspirit.com. Jake will have tons of coverage from there. And we will have more podcasts this week. Shout out to Grayson for joining us. shout out to you, the listener, for tuning in. We appreciate you. And of course, all of our lovely sponsors that make this show possible. For Grayson, I'm Zach. This has been the flagship. Until next time.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.